Hey, DC fans, it's Gary from Burton's Comics. I just want to let you know that Burton's Comics is open and ready to serve you in Hamilton, Ontario, down 725 Barton Street East. Come in for some deals on the weekend. Thanks.
Dinner, y'all. What's a shaking? What's a popping? Welcome to a very, very special, I guess it would kind of be a continuation of a 420 celebration, even though it's not like officially. So, but either way, it's a great way to get along with Batman and Stoners all in the same run. And I, of course, am the Fright Furball himself, the very fluff. I guess I am the Mize, of course. And you know the usual, folks. And in case you aren't, tell the people who you are, you know?
Well, you know, as Stan Lee once said, every episode, every issue is somebody's first, so allow us to introduce ourselves. I am the host with the most, keeping it down like butter toast. I am the best thing, breathing the greatest thing, going in Courage Pro Wrestling's only two-time, that's right, two-time commentator of the year. I am Clowny J, and I am joined by... Shada, this is where you...
Come on, Douglas!
I just cut a promo.
Yeah, because, but see, the thing is, you're not the only because you give yourself a trophy every year doesn't mean you're the two-time anything.
In canon, they have made it official.
I'm fairly certain it's official as well. We've gone on so far, like all these various episodes of the season, without ever denying the fact. And I, for one, am not about to question a king and his throne, especially when the man wears the crown.
I have a t-shirt that has two little trophies in my hands.
Just because you bought it and designed it for yourself doesn't mean you do time anything.
Are you meaning to tell us, Shauna, that you are, in fact, Courage Pro Wrestling's two-time commentator of the year?
No, I am the tag team champion.
No, you're not. That's Airstrike.
Well, I'm champion. Ask Max. Me and him are tag team champions.
Cool. You are willing to go on record in saying that Airstrike, both Forte and Arrow, are frauds, and that your mantles are being represented by heathens and imposters.
Totally.
And the heathen and imposter, of course, is our gluten-free
Q's can be the little one.
Who always, she brings us on these tangents, takes us off track like this, and then complains later on to me off the air that we go on tangents and get off track.
Little did we know that she uses these tangents as part of her introductory, her method of talking herself up, of just cutting loose as to how powerful she truly is. She uses other people's power to boast herself, because if she were to use her own power, it's unprecedented. Like, that's how mountains collapse, is when Shauna goes up and avoids modesty, is just like, hey, I'm pretty fucking great, and boom! Shit just collapses. That is how powerful her introduction is.
Totally.
Some wild stuff.
Pretty cool, because I found Jay some peppers today.
Shit. I've heard about this.
Yeah, as soon as we picked them up and I checked out what kinds they were, one is the chocolate habanero spicy pepper. I looked at that and said, that is going to make some excellent barbecue sauce for Scott and Mize.
And, you know, I'm fairly sensitive to spices all around. I'm like, I am so staple white boy, I need a waiver to drink milk. That is how staple white boy I am. So if Jay says that it's mice friendly, I'm either going to enjoy the sauce or I'm going to die.
Well, habaneros are pretty, like, they're the lightweight of my three favorites.
They're the lightweight of your three favorites. Jay, I still fucking cough and choke up eating ketchup.
Okay, Shauna can do habanero.
Yeah, Shauna's pretty tough. She is as tough as her word, and her words are our words, blended into her words, using those words instead of her own words. That is how powerful she is. She's too powerful for spice. She's too cool for nice. That's a new one. We'll throw that one in there on the gluten-free part, and then, you know, Shauna has all the fucking power to boast in the world.
See?
Well played, Shauna. You've won this round.
Well, I'm glad we got the extended intro this week because we ain't got much in forms of news.
We got shit all the news.
Which I'm sure even still, as little news as it is, a lot of it actually has a fairly large impact as of late.
Yep. Some of it does. Some of it not so much. We'll jump right into it with perhaps the lightest of the lightweight news. Once she leaves Supergirl, Melissa Benoist will be releasing a teenage-style book. That I believe it has some, we don't have a blurb of what it's about
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I didn't.
But I think it is about like an original superhero that she wrote about.
That's fairly intriguing. And given the time that she spent on the Supergirl crossing over as well with the various actors and heroes amongst the series as well as other series, this should certainly take for an interesting twist. I'm sure she's picked up a lot of inspiration as well as a lot of influence in regards to this. I imagine she's got a creative mind behind her at the very least outside of superhero continuities. So I can't wait to see what this is all about, you know, really get a delve into things. There have been actors and voice actors who have taken the turn in the who'd taken turn on the author's lane there and done some pretty neat projects. Like we'll take just for a quick instance there, Keanu Reeves being part of the writing staff for this series called Berserker. And the main character, of course, you know, actor's an image. It looks just like Keanu Reeves. I mean, he's got that, his John Wick has that staple look to it.
Well, you say it's called Berserker, and all I want to know is, would you like being fucked Berserker?
That would be an intriguing activity, and you better, and whoever wants to answer that question, you better answer it quick. Time is ticking, ticking, talk Berserker.
Not only is she making the book, it's her sister, Jessica, as well. Jessica Benoist. And our author, Marcio Mecca. And it's called Hidden Secret.
All right. Sounds something that people can get behind. And who knows as well, this may also help intrigue people into the Supergirl series and other productions that she has been a part of in the past. So this is a big opportunity being presented for her, as well as open minds to be brought into various fan bases. So the best of her on that. I hope this goes the way she wants it.
It comes out October the 19th, and it's actually called The Powers, Haven Secret.
There we go. So keep your eyes on that. And speaking of the cast of Supergirl, former regular cast member... Yeah, Jeremy Jordan, who we would know best as Windshot, has been cast in an off-Broadway version of The Little Shop of Horrors as Seymour.
Get out. Wow.
That's exactly what I said.
That's so cool. I would love to see that.
Right?
Seymour is already just a blessed character in the Shop of Horrors, but with a little Jeremy playing him, I can see great things for that. So that's a 2-for-2 on good news so far.
Speaking of good news, motherfucking Superman and Lois comes back this Tuesday. So tonight, as of when the episode will be dropping.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. And for those who paid attention on Twitter, we have made mention on the episode, unless some issues that have occurred, being recorded on the Friday, which is tonight, and of course, being available a normal time frame. This is a my bad on my part. I mean, like, it's not necessarily a bad, but I had gotten called for an opportunity of employment throughout this whole thing, and if I can maintain proper safety procedures, get this chance of employment just to stop from sitting around and moping and blah, blah, blah throughout this whole thing and do something productive other than chilling with my peeps, you know, giving the news and reviews, then hell, I'm all for that shit. Of course. Exactly.
From this, if this changes our release schedule in any way, we will let you know as soon as we figure it out.
Not just on the podcast either, but of course on social medias, obviously, just to keep people who are following and patiently waiting for the episodes that they've been coming. I know this part of the season's been a little like, you know, technical difficulties, but, you know, what can you do? We still do our best to bring you that, and we appreciate you sticking around for it.
It's hard to do when you live in two separate
towns. Yeah, and I was going to say, speaking of that, we do have our eyes on perhaps a live date return. Shauna and I, in 2 weeks, go for our first shot of the COVID vaccine. Not sure what flavor we're getting. Don't care what flavor we're getting.
Well, make sure you keep yourselves well educated. You know, you don't want anything that's going to fumble around in any, any specific, biological things that you have going on with you, whether it's thyroids, dietary methods, overall breathing ability, that kind of stuff.
Nurse.
Okay. Well, just as long as you choose what's right for you guys and making sure that it's not going to mess your bodily functions up.
None of them are glutinous for Shauna's behalf. None of them have fish oil on my behalf. So,
well, that is great news. You know, that's probably the best news out of the news so far. So, with that being said, I imagine you guys will always maintain the best of your health as you normally do. So, this should be a walk in the park for you guys, and that you'll be part of a greater influence just getting the country back where it needs to be.
And with that, our second shots are scheduled for September, which means as of October, we will be eligible to travel again, being fully vaccinated. So we will be making our return to Hamilton in October. And, you know, we will be there for the release of The Long Halloween.
The Long Halloween, of course, being the greatest Batman story ever told. Don't at me. I think that's a great way to open up, like either a new season or just like a legendary episode kind of thing, or we could always make it like the fucking feature creatures, the movie kind of feel to it. Hype the shit out of that.
Exactly. And as I was saying, Superman and Lois does return this Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, frosting on the cake. You know, this news is fantastic. I have been waiting the countless days, well, the few days on the in-between there, like a normal hiatus wait, but this shows a few episodes that they had released just hooked me in and kept pulling with a relentless tug, giggity. And they have given us so much in a new format Superman Lois feature that which, just like for some Spider-Man features or some other hero features where you don't need to see the origin because you've been around for almost a century, you know, and you're bound to be recognized by every single person who can fucking blink.
Also, if you want me to decorate that icing a little bit, next week's episode on May 25th will be directed by Mr. David Ramsey.
No.
Directed by this. It is not the episode that will feature John Diggle in the episode. However, it is one that is directed by him. They did also confirm that Diggle's story will be a 4-episode arc stretching over all of the shows. So Superman and Lois, Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Batwoman. Sorry, a 5-episode arc.
So you know what that means then.
Another? Oh, you totally know what that means. They're saying that his role on Legends of Tomorrow is being kept a secret.
Oh, I was going to lean with the fact that they're going to be doing another crisis. And this one's got to be a doozy with the likes of, who was it, Tom Cavanagh and Carlos, the one who plays Vibe. It's just heart-wrenching to see that they're leaving. But, you know, if they're going, they may as well go out with a bang. And I think that by doing it with the crisis event, it could...
It's just a crossover.
It's a 5-episode arc with Diggle as the centerpiece.
And they're counting that as the crossover. And
they're counting this as the crossover because it is a Diggle story being told over all of the different shows. They're not even going to be in subsequent order. They're going to be stretched out in a few cases. But they are going to consider that, like, picking up the issues to tell the story of this.
They still can't...
because of COVID regulations.
They still can't intertwine. You have to stay in your group.
Oh, well, they're just making filler episodes. They're just making basic filler episodes, but with Diggle there.
Yeah, but it's going to be a Diggle story, and with the mystery role of Legends of Tomorrow for him, it is speculating that we are going to see John Diggle ringed up.
I mean, at this point, given like some of the late movie news as well, you got to throw a little sugar in this salt mine, you know? either way, I can't wait to see what happens. You know, I love Diggle. I love the stories revolving around Diggle. He's just such an interesting support character. And making him one of, like, the big mainstream names in televised DC Comics history, I think that's a great way to go overall.
Speaking of great television shows, a character that we know best as Flex Mentallo from Doom Patrol, Devin Chandler Long, he's been hired by the CBC for a comedy series that's upcoming called Ghosts.
Ghosts. Interesting. Is this based on Ghosts, I guess?
I didn't look up the series.
Too much info.
This is like news that we just found about half an hour ago.
Okay.
In random fun news, James Gunn does confirm that Peacemaker will be released in January 2022. Speaking of James Gunn, I would be remiss if I didn't go on this Vic Sage-like tangent and rant. Shauna tells me I might be reading too much into this. I'll leave it up for you to decide. James Gunn was talking about Peacemaker on Twitter. I put out to him, will we be seeing any, because Peacemaker came from the Charlton era of comic books, along with like Blue Beetle and The Question, the characters that basically formed the Watchmen. I asked, will we be seeing any other Charlton era characters show up in this series? And I posted a GIF of The Question at his computer. James Gunn puts a like on it, no response.
A lot of people put likes on stuff and don't respond to it, but this is an idea that clearly, you know, fantasy is creative touch. So James Gunn has gone beyond impossible with a lot of things and kept us impressed. So it is definitely not something to rule out at the very least. The question is one of those stupid popular characters, but a lot of people gotta like those like B-list heroes to be able to recognize him. But look what the likes of DC and Marvel cinematography have done for their various characters, whether it be the likes for using the Serpent Society on Netflix, introducing the Hand and bringing the Defenders together. You could do stuff for just stupid villains like the Rainbow Rider, Plastique, those kinds of villains in DC. See, and just bringing them up to something greater. The Question has nowhere to go but up if he chooses to delve into this. And then you know what Marvel will do? They'll be like, oh yeah, watch this. And then they'll go further with Moon Knight. And they'll go further with Question. And it'll just keep going further. And I don't care who wins that like battle of show-offery, because I, the audience person, will still be impressed and very entertained, so I will be the winner.
Now, who would you cast for Vic Sage? I have two people in mind, depending on the route you want to take with him.
Honest to God, I'd want John Cena as The Question.
He's already Peacemaker.
He is, but, you know, Ryan Reynolds is still the juggernaut, if you catch my drift. He can still utilize the character and just kind of put the sound off a little bit on him, and it'll be just like the real guy anyway. You can't see John Cena. The Question is no face to see. He just puts himself together. That's just like on the top of a head kind of thing, but if I really had to think about it for the Question casting, it is a tough one to say, but I would probably go to a generic top of the list and say Nathan Fillion.
See, I've got two different ones in mind. If you want to go the more serious pulp dark style question, that like maybe the Jeff Lemire style one of Question, I would say go with a David Duchovny. However, if you want to go with you really fun question, Sean and I have both discussed this a few times, and look at Dwight as the Scranton Strangler and tell me you don't see The Question in Rainn Wilson.
Look at Dwight and tell me you don't see The Question.
Right?
Rainn Wilson would be a phenomenal choice for it. And he has that, and he can put like a classic noir touch in his vocal like representations. So whether it's narration, whether it's like on TV or on the big screen or whatever it is, Rainn Wilson just has that touch for like a gritty voice, serious voice, but still manage to do so in a manner that makes you sit in front of your TV like, who the fuck makes this kind of psycho up? and is just baffled by the sheer matter of the character existing the entirety of the time. Like, he would be really good for that.
I say we hashtag Rainn Wilson for the question, and we tag James Gunn and Rainn Wilson in it and see what happens.
I think we should do it once a day.
Until one of them tells us to shut up.
They can tell us to shut up. They can tell us to block us. But that will not, good sir, in all faith, change our minds.
Well, this next piece of news does start to tie into Collector's Corner, because McFarlane Toys has released a pre-order on their Injustice 2 Dr. Fate and Hot Pursuit White Flash variant figures are up. I've seen pictures of them both, and dude, the Dr. Fate one is mint.
Well, that's great to hear. I, for one, always loved the Flash, even if he does fucking ruin everything. But he has, like, phenomenal figure posture, so much. It doesn't really matter the expense at this point, because with the amount of articulation a Flash figure has, it's just, it's too good. Especially when either he's a...
Too, which is really nice looking.
Oh, that's fresh. I like that. Well, that's good news at the very least, you know. I mean, delving into figures outside of Funko's into something just out of the blue that isn't Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. I mean, I can tie down with that.
Yeah, well, speaking of Funko's, this is just a fun story. I posted this on Twitter. So we ordered some a bunch of books off Amazon, right? I've dived back into the Earth 2 from the New 52 run, so I have I've got Volume 1 here, so I've got Volumes 2 all the way through until World's End coming to me.
Oh.
As well as we ordered Shauna some, like, the glass eyes for, like, that they put on dolls, a bunch of new yarn, some gluten-free macaroni. All in all, our order had 13 items in it. Or, sorry, 10 items in it. All 10 items are being shipped by different sellers.
Outstanding. I do not see why you just didn't go to Indigo. Do they not have any in stock?
Not of this run, no.
Shit.
But well, also, on top of that, for Collector's Corner, there's another 3 packages, making the total in 13, because we've ordered a couple of Funkos online. We do have the Spectre coming in. We have... what was the other? We have Shauna's Static Shock coming in, and Black Hand.
Oh, you made mention of really wanting these too. So this is just going to touch base nicely in your collection, and the setup of the Hall of Justice is just going to make it fucking proper.
Oh, dude, I've got a spot already opened up for Black Hand. The Hall of Justice is actually surrounded by people that have appeared on the CW right now, but I do have a spot selected for the Spectre right now.
Where you got him, or where you wanting to post him up, I should say.
Was just on a mixed match of heroes type shelf right now. I got 2 to sort through, one that's more JLI inspired people, and one that's just kind of a leftover of who's who.
Well, that makes sense. Well, at the very least, then, there's got to be a bunch of heroes who are part of one of those two teams. Depending how you bunch them up, you know, you can still fit them all in there, but I can see the need to want to keep them as, like, you know, extras and shit. You can just do various postings around the place, and just everywhere you go, be like, oh, cool, look at that one. Ah, shit, look at that one. I'm having a crap, but oh, fuck, what up? There's another one.
Yeah, Static is actually going on the Young Justice Titans type shelf, so.
That'll be all right, eh?
Yo, the Static one looks dope.
What about if they come out with, like, since they're coming out with comics for it, what if they come out with Funkos for the Milestone team?
I would love if they put out, like, Icon and Rocket.
Wouldn't you love just, like, at various times, like, say when Black History Month rolls along, you just have a nice fucking table set up of the Milestone characters?
Milestone, John Stewart, Cyborg.
Yeah. Just having them included with other various DC names really gets your mind going into obscurity and thinking that, hey, these guys could be relevant if they went this way. You throw a bunch of hypotheticals around. It's just a creative use of your day.
Yeah, I've even got Darla from the Shazam family.
Yeah, I was just going to say Darla.
What? That's nice.
Dude, I've got all 7 of the Shazam set, including Black Adam.
Because it's a good fucking movie, and these are great fucking characters.
I love Darla.
Who doesn't love Darla? I will fucking kick a cardboard box in the grocery store in the name of fucking Darla. That's what I'll do. So don't fucking tell me, people, you don't like Darla. She's the best. Oh my God, she's so good. But the other ones are okay. But primarily, Billy, of course, Darla, Freddie was okay.
I love that Mary is getting a revival.
Oh my God. Probably one of the more talked about family members of the Shazam family.
As of the past few years, especially, like.
Oh yeah. I mean, from just random placements of various anomalies of the DC universe to being pretty much fucking Darkseid's right-hand man to just, you know, blending along in various tales. She's been such a just a good image overall in the DC universe, because it's one of those characters that, you know, like The Question, like Connor Hawk, all that jazz, you can just kind of poke and prod out to obscurity and get a better like essential look at the DC universe, various villains that encumber the heroes, all that usual jazz.
Well, speaking of comic books and all that jazz, sir, what are you reading this week?
This week, I went to go pick up my comics today. I don't know if he was late or something happened, but I wasn't able to grab my this week's run. But as of the last week, of course, going into this week's stuff, I picked up Batman 108. That's a whole new impressive run there. He got, like, Batman goes into the Natchez Malone disguise and gets fucking found out in a snap. Scarecrow's got an all new manner of grip over Gotham City, and the introduction and progression of the use of the magistrate and their peacekeepers comes into a pretty heavy play in this issue. This is a good standpoint in the story of Batman's like future into Gotham City, the laws against vigilantism and all that shit actually being taken into play and utilized. And speaking of Batman, though, going into the Robin issue, that was an interesting one.
Yeah, that's something that's in our pile coming to us, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, there's a lot of talk about Robin being somebody completely different than how he normally was, and that's entirely true. Also, well, he still kept some of his Gotham kindness that he picked up from Bruce, but there is... Wow. It touches based on quite a bit of the past as well as the future to come for, I guess I could call it a Mortal Kombat-esque kind of style storyline. It's really good, and I really think you'll enjoy the issue coming up there, because there'll be quite a few questions on it and even more nods. So the story is just fucking great. Aside from that, I haven't picked up my Green Lantern 2 and my Crime Syndicate yet. I've been surprisingly busy all week.
There was also the Celebration issue that came out this week.
Which one? Which Celebration one? Was it the Asian one or the Pride one?
The Asian one.
The Asian one. Okay. Oh, well, yeah, I actually want to read it.
I know I put that on my pulls list for Gary. Make sure people pick that one up. We're definitely going to pick up the Pride one as well.
Yeah.
Oh, marvelous. Oh, fuck. Nonstop Spider-Man. That's still been fairly nonstop. I guess the...
Talking to the new Avengers. I saw a couple of panels from that today, and I started laughing.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, Jesus. New Avengers today.
Bad bread.
Yeah, you're better off reading X-Men stuff. Which I have been. So the Children of the Atom is just weird. It's a great point into you know, just a new breed of superheroes on the mainland of planet Earth, as opposed to on the same fucking island that you'll never die on. Lucky piss ants. The fucking mutants are going through a bit of a troubled time, and it's kind of setting them back to square one, though. Even though they've gotten all this, that pretty much eradicates the point of the last few decades and introduces a means to revitalize Magneto's old view on the world and turn it into a religion. It's called a...
all the DC reboots. X-Men needs a fucking like reboot from scratch.
They already got, I don't know how further they can go. They already got the Scarlet Witch, that No More Mutants thing still didn't fucking stop them.
A complete universe reboot where you start the whole team with the core five, like restart the Marvel universe like they do to DC every few years. Some stories in Marvel have gotten so far up their ass, I can't keep track of what's going on.
Well, the Immortal Hulk has apparently been fairly interesting. I haven't delved into that stuff myself, because if I did, I'd want to get Maestro. And if I wanted to get Maestro, I'd want to get past Hulk stuff that led up to the Immortal Hulk. And, well, that's just a whole lot to put on top of there. I mean, like, maybe I'm really high up on if I were to go that route, whether or not I want to do a Donny Cates run of Venom. Or if I'd want to do like a Immortal Hulk Maestro and then start working on back stuff from that point. That's for the Marvel's sake at the very least. Aside from that, Titans Academy certainly picked up very quickly. There's a whole lot of issue about the Red X mask going missing, and then all of a sudden Red X popping up out of nowhere. And not only does it introduce the new Flash Bolt, but it also just picks right the fuck up into her relevance within the Suicide Squad, right? And it's bound to just throw you for a loop. Like, this book was not the lighthearted, funny school story I thought it was going to be.
And Suicide Squad has, of course, been a gem. I knew to expect something good from it. I didn't know how good.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a number three as well of that. I still get to delve into that. Man, I'm slow on the take. Jesus Christ, getting old. But there's a lot of cool...
covers everything on this end. Mize, did we miss anything?
I think that's roughly about... Oh, so amongst the news of the whole Gal Gadot thing about her coming out about Joss Whedon being a complete and total douche canoe, apparently Zack Snyder had come out saying the exact same thing about WB just being complete and total fucking bullies, and that they went hard on him to do the movie, but when he did it, they didn't, I guess he didn't do it the right way, and they just started spurting crap at him. So he just dealt with it until the movie was finished and shit. A lot of shit that was changed, a lot of shit that was cut. And also as well, a bit of talk around his potential betrayal of the Green Lantern and how he was going to fit into the cinematic universe.
See, I didn't want to touch on anything Snyderverse. I don't give a fuck about it.
Well, at the very least, if there's news about the production companies treating people who want to make these styles of movies like that, then a lot of people who would normally be, you know, raising their hands up real high for the opportunity to do so aren't going to feel that it's, you know, morally safe, or they're not going to feel comfortable with being able to do it, despite how, you know, cool the setup and casting and writing is going to be. Like, something bad like that could just happen, and it just, you know, climbs its own ladder to do so, in doing so, pardon me. And, well, I wouldn't want to be on their end either, so I'd just go somewhere else with an idea and see what they make of it.
Yeah, because then you also get the James Gunn telling of things where he had complete freedom with no interference, and everyone was perfectly awesome to him.
Oh, my God. God bless James Gunn. Good Jesus Christ. Those movies are just great.
So really what it comes down to at the end of the day is he said, she said, with nothing really tangent to show for it.
Well, the movie business is a tricky business, apparently.
It really is.
Yeah, just wild shit.
And with that, we will let Mize get hunted by whatever horror movie sound effect is in his background. And we will be right back with the first episode of the Scooby-Doo Batman crossover, and goddamn, was this hard to follow.
Absolutely. Oh, is that a dildo and you're licking your lips? Oh, shit, no! But we're back. After that sound effect, you know, filling our lungs with the good shit, getting that good drank in our gullet. And, you know, we're from the news to the reviews. And, of course, you know, this week we are doing Batman Meets Scooby-Doo, the classic 1970s adventure, the Caped Crusader, getting to meet Mystery Incorporated, Fred Velma, Norville, and Scoobert.
That's right. Before we get into that, let's go over a quick programming note. Our next couple of weeks. Now, next week, actually, on the 23rd, the show officially started on the, it'll be the 22nd that the episode comes out. Our show officially started on May 24th of last year. It was either the 24th or 25th that we dropped episode zero of Flashpoint Paradox. So as a special episode, we're going to take a break from our regular schedule, and we picked one out of the bin that we haven't done yet. This, of course, is a classic. Boys, we are going to be doing Batman Return of the Joker.
That's going to be a fucking doozy. That is my top of the bill for animated features that stem from Batman, the animated series. It is my fucking golden goose of the Diniverse. I fucking love that movie. And you'll hear me talk about, Long Halloween. And I'll actually say I haven't been excited about a Batman feature since the first time I watched Return of the Joker, in which case is my absolute favorite part about the entirety of the Terry McGinnis continuity. From his inclusion there, even to the epilogue episode in Justice League Unlimited. You know, Terry McGinnis has done a lot of good in the bat suit during his animated series run, but nothing, you know, in comparison to what he fared up against the Joker with.
Now, of course, the week after that will be the week of the 28th. That is the day after Sean and I got our shots. They say sometimes the day after you feel kind of blah. So we will see if that one gets moved around at all. But our next episode after that will be our last of the superhero girl films.
Oh, my God. And yeah, if it comes to it, we'll move it along there because, you know, it's bad enough we all have to deal with it. And it's going to be even worse if you guys are not even feeling up to it and have to fucking deal with it.
I saved us because we were supposed to watch this girl one next week. But because of the anniversary, I made him switch it to the Batman.
Yeah, she said, no, we got to do something good for the show's anniversary. We can't do Superhero Girls Intergalactic Games for our one-year anniversary.
I can only imagine there may have been a 2x4 and a mariachi band involved in this persuasion.
Yep. And our sex life, weirdly.
Yes. You're the worst parents ever. Shit.
But then, of course, after we get through Intergalactic Games, the show after that will be another classic that we're all waiting for, and that'll be Lego Batman.
That'll be an exciting one. That has been just a gift of cinematic viewing ever since its release. You know, I, for one, cannot wait to get to be able to review Will Arnett as the Caped Crusader. I had a lot of fun watching him as Deathstroke the Terminator or Slade. But, you know, this is going to be just as fun, if not even more fun for that matter. Well, it's a Lego Batman movie. How can you not have fun with the Lego Batman movie?
So let's jump into Batman Meets Scooby-Doo, because my God, the pacing of this, and for, I guess 1 hour special is what it was on television after commercials.
I gotta ask you, what would you say is more stupid? The progression and this factor of the cartoon in general, or Daphne's fucking intelligence?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to say that the writers of this, for the pacing, got into the mind of their character and did a really deep character study role play where they had Daphne write the film.
And they were all, like, supremely fucking stoned, as you would be well aware. So Daphne just woke up. Daphne just vocalizes that amount of stonership into the character. And I had to stop for a couple of times there because, like, even during one point, oh, look, there's a fucking cliff. Let's drive off it. Yeah, okay. No, people really fucking say that.
they kill the dog at one point, and because it's a cartoon, he lives.
Hanna-Barbera, we appreciate you and your sense of mercy.
Well, shit starts off after their sesh because they're all camping in the woods and Shaggy wants to find the nearest pizza joint.
Yeah, it's a midnight snack. It's only 8 p.m., but it's midnight somewhere. If that is an analogy for it's after 5 somewhere or it's 4:20 somewhere, then Jesus Christ, I just wouldn't know what to think of myself, you know? They walk right into that shit.
Yeah, first 30 seconds, hey, 1972, this is what you're getting.
So Daphne finally decides to play along and is like, yeah, I'll cook you something, but you got to get more firewood. The fire's only, like, roaring right now, so we may be fucked. Like, what the hell? You're throwing hot dogs over the fire. Come on.
As I described it in my mind here, Daphne's like a lot of the girls we used to know. You get her high and she needs wood.
That fucking works beautifully. Oh, that's a lovely callback. So, Strange Wood is actually hiding up above a rock form. Jesus Christ! Like, if the 70s doesn't, walk into this, when Delta does, Jesus, it's dominoes, man. It's amazing. So anyway, the Strange Wood Formation, Giggity, is just hiding above like a rock formation in Shaggy and Scooby, you know, being the guys who eventually say, yeah, okay, I guess that's what we got to do, so let's go do it. Shaggy doesn't care. He's like, just go grab that wood up there. And it was up pops a fucking, it was a buck. It was a buck that popped up, like, out of the blue there. He just ups and roars. Like, this dude, I bet his name is, like, Ricardo or something like that. He was just spanking one out behind a rock, you know, watching all the youngsters that go by, and you know, a buck's got a bust, you know. So
really, I named this animal, this is Nicholas Matthew Jackson, the young buck.
Nick, you named it Nicholas Matthew.
Yes.
Lovely. I would have called him Dave.
This is why I'm a two-time award winner, and you're not, sir.
Oh, you sure got me there, good sir. You won this round. So this buck is spanking one out at the back of the rock there, and he pretty much roars them off. And Shaggy is all flustered. Apparently, he's never seen any form of equestrian animal in his life.
No, dude is straight up city boy, like New York City or something. That's never seen anything bigger than a rat.
Like, yeah, you got Scooby, but I guess talking animals are common in the city world as opposed to the country life. So I guess that's why it's so hard for us to really see them during wacky races.
Well, anyway, as Shaggy and Scooby are grabbing wood in the forest, Joker, Penguin, and a random scientist are just walking in the woods.
Professor Flaky, excuse me. That's what this fella is named. Dr. Flaky is a rather intelligent man for the time back when he developed a suit that allowed you the capability to levitate and maneuver, fly more or less. So they were bringing him to what they referred to as a secret lab, and in which case he already caught on, and he's like, okay, this dude is dressed like Prince, and this one looked like he was birthed from a prince. So... yeah, these guys are definitely not who they say they are. He's not coming off for any of that crap. They want some form of invention of his. They don't announce it to us like during this conversation or mention it beforehand, so we're just assuming that they just kidnapped a random dude and hope to God he's going to remain in their captivity and invent the world's greatest fucking thing, I guess, because we don't know what's going on yet, at least.
Yeah, and then Penguin, who's a bad Burgess Meredith impression, and 1930s gangster Joker.
Oh my god. That voice was so fucking funny for Joker. Yeah, see? Knock, knock, I'll tell you. Who's there? That's none of your beeswax. See, this door is not meant for opening. You go about the way you came, and that's a 1930s knockout joke. Yeah.
You know, I'll give the guy this. It was a choice he made, and he went with it, and I respect it.
Yeah, because he still got like a classic old age Joker laugh, even just like a short span version of it down. And you know, I really believe that the follow well with the antics.
Who was it? What was his name?
His name is Larry Storch.
Larry Storch.
Yeah,
and he was a stage actor.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear he got the opportunity to play the Clown Prince of Crime and portray him so you know, colorfully. He did a pretty good job in this.
And in a new way as well. Like, everyone hears the Joker with that maniacal little snarl to his voice, or the upbeat giggle of a Cesar Romero. But, you know, this was a new choice, and coming in 1972, right off of the 1960s Batman run, he could have chosen to go with a bad Cesar Romero impression, but instead he went with a totally different way, and I respect him for it.
They managed to keep the vocabulary between them on par, what with all the various adjectives, the unique verbal use of some of the portrayal of what they're describing things as is absolutely silly, but it's openly welcome because, again, it's coming fresh off of that 1966 representation of the Caped Crusader, and it has a lot to offer the future renditions, and it did a whole lot, especially in like a really quick crossover feature between the two Hanna-Barbera productions.
Well, it's then that Joker and Penguin see the kids having their campsite and fetching around for wood, and then yeah, like, you know, we gotta scare these hoodlums off.
Yeah, Shag and Scoob just happened to stumble upon the fucking Dumb and Dumber with the scientist there, and they wanted to make a like quiet, clean getaway to go tell their friends that they could summon forces of justice, and the Penguin and Joker could be dealt with quite easily. But Shaggy, of course, being Shaggy, backs up into something that would just kind of ruin that shit. Backed up into a porcupine, he let out a quick yelp there, and Joker and Penguin decided to break off so that way Joker could handle the meddlers. If we think about it the way that we see the modern age Joker, then yeah, Mr. Ink would be fucked. But it was a cartoonish crossover, so he wanted to just spook them off, you know, get them out of suspicion, because they were still a superstitious and cowardly lot, so all they want is that, you know, privacy to be able to go about their plans before hatching them. Weird. But it still works out there. Jesus. Like, it's just baffling the amount of goofery between the Joker and Penguin. But again, coming off to, like, such a fresh point in the Golden Age, it was just amazing. So, along Shaggy and Scooby's way, they managed to get snared up in this cage. I honestly thought it was a trap set up by the Joker and Penguin, so that way they could, you know, catch anyone tailing them and shit. And I thought, oh, fuck. Norval's just right done. But no, a copter lands with a bat signal on it, even though part of the mystery is still confused as to who it is. And it's the motherfucking Batman and the boy wonder, the Robin, of course. They happen to stumble upon and made a slight goof in regards to those guys trying to catch Penguin and Joker.
Yeah, they launched the bat trap on the wrong people. And we get the first of many funny exchanges between Robin and Scooby and Shaggy, because both Robin and Shaggy are voiced by Casey Kasem.
He does a really good Robin. Like, I'm not going to lie, that was a fantastic portrayal of Robin.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, again, I'll say this about the voice casting for both Batman and Casey Kasem. They could have went with Burt Ward and Adam West impressions, and they didn't.
Or hell, Scooby-Doo was fucking huge at that time, and he remained huge until, like, fucking, like, 80s, mid-90s and shit. And, you know, the superhero craze kicked in, but even still, Scooby-Doo was a name synonymous with households all over the globe, for that matter, you know? He just rose up there like the Flintstones and the Jetsons did. It's absolutely crazy. So they're having about their various, as you said, exchanges there. Batman and Robin make the apologies for messing up what's going on there. From there, they want to know what they can do to help him, right? So the gang's all inquisitive about this, and Batman's like, yo, they're dangerous. You don't want to personally interact with them. You can just keep your eyes open, search around, and then when you're driving about, flash your headlights. You know, we'll come see you, and then we'll, you know, confer notes and shit.
That's right. Now, they're all like, zoinks, yo, that sounds like a great team up.
And again, one of those funny quips between the two, like Shaggy just asks for a bat cookie. Like, that's just such a weird thing to ask for, but you know what?
Does he ask for it? Batman has one.
Yeah, that's another big thing there. That's what disturbs me there, is that, yeah, sure, it's the utility belt. It has absolutely everything, as long as the animators have it, you know?
That means in that canon, Alfred is at home every day baking up a fresh batch of bat cookies so they don't go stale in the utility belt.
Yeah, like, there's no shitting on the utility belt at this point. Oh my god, it is just such an absolutely hilarious tale. I can only imagine in some scenarios oh no, Batman, Two-Face has a rocket launcher. No need to fear, chum. I have cookies.
And that's all it takes to defeat him. Just really, his sugar levels were off.
Oh my god. It was just absolutely hilarious.
Well, the mystery gang is, you know, they keep, after agreeing to help Batman, Batman's all like, hey, just flash your headlights if you need me. I'll be watching you, group of teenagers.
Yeah. More or less it, before they separate off. You know, Batman and Robin, they're going to take to the sky. I mean, they brought the fucking chopper along. They may as well use it, right? So, it's sky time. Oh my god. He actually said it's sky time. I almost about lost my shit. There's, like, no real problem with it, but Christ, what a stupid fucking thing to say for Batman getting in a helicopter. It's sky time, not, come on, old chum, or quick, Robin, to the Batcopter. No, it's sky time.
The delivery as well.
It is absolutely hilarious. So, there's a set of ominous eyes in the bushes shortly after everyone gets a go in there, you know? The gang is discussing a possibility of a hideout. There's like no buildings or anything, and Shaggy just busts out with the whole, hey, I know of a place, you know, people could use a cave. I saw, you know, on the way here. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, I noticed this fucking hole in the side of the cliff and shit. I'm like, oh cool, a cave, so that could be a hideout. And even throughout like certain interactions later on in the movie as well, you'll notice that they're just kind of like really butthurt that, you know, Shaggy fucking stepped up on all of them. Like, they would not have found this place anywhere if not for fucking Shaggy.
And it's on that way that they come across a log in the road.
Yeah, it must have been some lazy attempt for Joker and Penguin to be undisturbed throughout their plans there. But, you know, who can honestly get out of the car and on their own move a fucking log out of the way? Well, clearly the people who put them there, because they must have thought of using a means to making sure they can do that without arousing suspicion. But nobody ever thinks to look through the log, and the Scooby gang found out that it was hollow, you know, so it was very easy to move. Scooby starts looking around on the inside, you know, maybe there's a clue that the gang can use to help track down these villains. And the gang, in unison and unanimously, just decide to roll this log out of the fucking way without making sure that everyone, including the dog, is out of the way.
Yeah, flat out, okay, let's just roll that off the cliff. And in any other film, sir, they just killed Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So the gang's looking to drive across the river, right? They're wanting to check over on that side and shite. But Shaggy notices that Scooby ain't around, and they decide to go on ahead while Shaggy looks for Scooby and shit. So there they are about,
around. Not only do they say, hey, we just killed your dog, but now we're going to abandon you in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, more or less. Because they found this dryad spirit. This dryad spirit was kicking around, just making a muck across the bridge, and these kids are standing there, and they're like, are you honestly seeing this shit? Like, who brought the weed, man? This is messed up. because the gang legit gets in their van and chases after a forest spirit.
I call him the Grinch who stole Groot.
Oh my god. He's got Groot in a cup somewhere and he ain't telling you where it is. And every 5 minutes you don't find him, he pees in the cup. Sure, Groot grows a little bit, but he's a dirty, dirty boy. Oh my god. So the gang takes off after the dryad. Shaggy's gonna look about for Scooby in the meantime. And lo and behold, in the log, Scooby managed to survive that fucking brain scrambling roll down the hill. Again, thanks to Hanna-Barbera for showing mercy to our favorite television dog. It was absolutely hilarious. Oh my god. So he's looking to help Scooby out of the thing, right? And he's holding the stick out to him, grab onto it, we'll get you out of there and shit. And the dryad actually shows up there. Oh, that's right. Because the dryad was running from the mystery machine and legit jumps off the side of a cliff into the trees before him. So now he could probably make a better getaway being able to grab onto strong branches, right? Well, Fred and Velma, they noticed that he jumped off this cliff, and they're like, oh my god, he's jumping out of sight, and Daphne's like, we could just say cowabunga it is, and just fucking drive off after him. Like, there is no road or anything ahead of him. Daphne's just like, no, to fuck this, for Valhalla, let's fucking go. She full on this fucking stoner wants everyone to drive off the cliff. I don't know why that's so goddamn funny, but Daphne is just so fucking stupid. Oh my god.
1972 Daphne is an ancestor of Baby Over a Bridge.
It's pretty much it, because somebody in the early 2000s was like, I'm watching the Scooby-Doo thing, and well, fuck, if I don't want to throw a baby off a building or a passage, then I just don't know what to think of myself anymore. So they decide to write a tale about a man who's like, hey, Bruce Wayne, go long, and chucks a fucking baby off the bridge.
And both things don't... Batman, Mize, we have found your baby over a bridge. You have Daphne over a bridge.
Daphne's stupidity is my spirit animal.
Now we just have to find what over a bridge will make Shauna laugh uncontrollably.
I do not know.
It'll come around. From the stretches of Mordor to Mr. Pixelixidic. All the way there. We'll find it. We'll find it. We're 2 for 3 right now. There's no way we can fail in this one. So, at any rate, Shaggy and Scooby end up having this run-in with the dryad, in which case Scooby just fucking bolts in the water, and Shaggy's like, dude, why are you ditching me? Oh, shit. That's right. Forest spirit hallucination. Alley-oop. And he yeets into the water and just scrambles off the two of them. Like a bat out of hell, pretty much. It's the usual Shaggy Scooby runaway bit. So, what is it here? They go up the side. They go up. Side of the hill to be spotted by everybody. But the reason they managed to get spotted by Fred, Daphne, and Velma was that they were off trying to drive around looking for shit, and a little troll had a turn wheel thing going on there, and it controlled the entirety of the bridge to be able to turn for some reason. Because this bridge
with reality, because if you're looking ahead to the other side of a bridge and that bridge starts moving, you will feel it and you will see it, sir.
Yes, but how high?
Absolutely. I just don't know why that kind of bridge is there when they have no need for that four directional motion there, unless somebody decided, we need to build a crossing platform to fuck with teenagers. That needs to happen. You know what? A couple of fucking psychopaths from the city prison are going to come along and they're going to want to spook the shit out of some teenagers. I say we get this bridge built. And so they decided to build a turnwheel bridge specifically for this animated feature. Like, that's very kind of them. So they happen to get on the bridge, though. Yeah, their shit gets turned around, and they completely go the other way, not thinking the wiser whatsoever for it. Again, great fucking job, Daphne. And they're on their way back to, like, the camp and everything. They notice this, and they turn back around. They're going to go, you know, look for people, you know, they eventually pick up Shaggy and Scooby. They eventually blink along so that way they can bring Batman and Robin down to their side of things and just try and discuss things over. What was it they did? They were just flying up there. They were going about their bit as Batman and Robin normally do, but, you know, things, like, kind of flunked on, you know?
Yeah, they're chasing away the helicopter.
It is just madness. I just can't get off the thought of using the bridge so weirdly. It's just the interaction they have with Shaggy and Scooby. I figure that they would be ones to fucking realize the whole how the bridge turns bit. And it was just silly.
Yeah, you know, now Shaggy wants to find out exactly this bridge works, that whole bit. If you turn the bridge, the wheel moves.
Oh my god. Who'd have thunk? And, you know, they got no time to worry about that, you know, that turn wheel, because they got to focus on how the gang's going to cross the bridge when, you know, they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. So, Scooby, you know, big brain play, sets the bridge back in motion. That's how they inevitably, you know, meet up with them afterwards. Because all that turning around in circles apparently stops them in one motion, so...
But it's okay because like we do get the same scene where they do find Shaggy's glory hole.
Oh my god, that's the
that brought him glory.
Just absolutely hilarious.
What do you say with the Batman sound effect?
Yeah, from that point, from there, we're going to bring the whole gang together and have them... come about the villainous chase, catching up to these guys, losing them, and seeing where they go from there.
And we're going to explore some dark caves.
Aww. Some deep, deep, dark, dick caves. Well, welcome back. We're back at it again with the reviews, of course. And you're just getting through everybody meeting back up amongst the chase, of course, the escaping villains and everything. Missed a little bit going along there. I see where I was kind of fumbling up there. I thought I missed something there, and all I had to do was look up. Because Shaggy and Scooby do their whole thing, see the dryad and take off. Fred and Velma, you know, get lost, and they catch up with the Batcopter because they got lost and turned around, where Batman makes the mention of, you know, there's no way that you could have driven around an entire circle. There's only one way to do so, and clearly you didn't take it. So they decide to all go investigate that together, in which case comes up on the point where Shaggy and Scooby find the bridge, investigate what's going on, and of course they meet both the Dryad and the Troll, who had fooled the other part of Mystery Incorporated earlier on. Of course, being the Penguin underneath that garment, because the Joker was the Dryad. In which case, they needed to get Professor back to their hideout with Professor Flaky and learn about the secrets about his inventions and shit. In which case, while Shaggy and Scooby were going back and forth and the Goblin was turning around, copter saw him, chased after him, and that scared the villains off, so Shaggy and Scooby climbed the water and meet up with everybody else. In which case, the Mystery Machine and Copter, after they approach and shit, everybody is all caught up and back together. You know, everybody's safe from their plummeting doom and all that shit. There's the Batcopter chase. Batman feels bad about, you know, leaving the kids behind and whatnot, fearing for the safety of Mystery Inc. It's put to ease when Robin points out they're following from the Riverside Road just below there. That's how they end up coming across the cave hole that Shaggy was mentioning earlier on. In which case, everybody was, you know, relieved that the kids were safe, but they failed to keep watch of what they were actually after. I guess they missed a point where somehow both of their adversaries just upped and disappeared into complete fucking thin air, and nobody knows what happened. So while Shaggy and Scooby are off all doing that, Batman and Robin now have to, you know, just comb over that land there out of the copter and see what's going on from that point.
Well, that's right. This is where we get the whole team. You know, they find the cave entrance. It looks a lot smaller from the outside than it is on the inside. There's a lot of room to fill in.
Nickel every time I had that probe. Criminy. So they're all in there, and everybody, yeah, is just overwhelmed by the underwhelming amount of space. Daphne and Fred just go right on roast patrol over Shaggy there. You call that a hideout? No, I call it a cave. In which case, Shaggy's not wrong. So he just gave a clap back to Daphne, and going on to Fred, who's like, nobody in his right mind would use this as a secret hideout. And Shaggy, clearly being the fucking one with a higher IQ than 4 at the moment, is like, I would use it as a hideout. And I guess marijuana being illegal and shit, you can just bring your fat sack and your friends down to this hole in the wall where nobody's ever going to fucking find you. You can just party your head off in there. Of course, while it's not being, currently utilized by supervillains, of course.
That's right. And the entire joke behind it, of course, being, you know, Batman uses a cave.
That is absolutely true. Yeah, that's right. It's a nice little nod towards, instead of like a state-of-the-art facility you can build with your billions that you clearly have for it, you decide to just hide under your, you legit have a man cave. That's all it is. You have like a super basement. That's all that's going on here.
Well, Shaggy and Scooby want to go spelunking and adventure these caves. Spelunking's an actual thing. It's not something dirty.
It just sounded dirty.
It just sounds like the reason why I got banned from the place.
I could say they want to go splunking amongst the moist walls of the interior.
.420 and sex in a 1970s feature, I would have never imagined, sir.
We'll get to that when Velma's on her hands and knees.
I mean, it's a tight fit at first, but after a little bit of experience, you come to maneuver a lot.
You know, maybe after a couple of cans of vodka. Worst parents ever?
Worst parents ever. So, going about, just looking around for clues or even hidden passageways, Shaggy, once again, the fucking MVP of the fucking baked out of their cord fucking Mystery Inc., stumbles on a rock and, you know, does a weird Scooby-Doo trip through, I thought he was just going to crash into the fucking wall. And, well, lo and behold, the thing just turns about and swallows Shaggy up. So,
I guess he drops him off a cliff because, everyone freaks out. Where'd Shaggy go? Scooby tries to explain it. They just can't understand the dog like his best friend can. So the dude reenacts it for them.
Yeah, they go absolutely fucking ballistic because Scooby's going ballistic. They're like, fuck, we gotta get this dog to shut up. And you know what Daphne's bright idea is? Jay, do you know what Daphne's brilliant fucking plan to deduce the scenario and act accordingly is? To give the dog...
It's the same way. It's the same thing we do with you.
They give the dog an edible.
My point exactly.
They gave this dog a fucking Scooby snack, and come on, we all know what a fucking Scooby snack actually is. So they give him a Scooby snack, and Scooby goes all fucking theater on these guys. And like Jay said, he recreates the scenario, does the same tripping fucking motion that, oh my God. Another walk into itself scenario. This is just great. God bless you, James Gunn, for no reason.
Oh,
so, he trips and he falls behind the wall, and the gang's like, whoa, what happened? They just watch the whole thing, and they're like, what what happened. And they're trying to look around for a means to get in there. And apparently all you need to do is just kind of, you know, nudge against this rock there. You don't have to fucking try and hoof it out of the ground or anything. But the gang decides, well, the best way to do it is to try and hoof it out of the ground anyway. So they decide to all do the trip and fall into the wall.
No, sir. It's when Joker and Penguin use the wall, you just have to push on top of the button. You just have to jar the wall in the right way and it opens up.
No. 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 DC, how could you? No. But in which case, if you do need the proper advice for this sort of thing, I would confer with your regularly programmed Scooby-Doo Meets Batman Adventure for such information. So
we go and catch up with Joker and Penguin with the doctor in their lab. And the first thing I notice is there's a screwed-in light bulb in the cave wall.
It's very interesting, and I guess no wires to show for where it is. Like, did they just break open all the rock, put the wires behind it, and then put the rock back over it?
Where's the source of electricity coming from?
Where's the gen? Why isn't there a generator? Like, anywhere. Like, you could have done a spot where the generator gets wet or something, gives up a big splash, it surges, and then a big fucking flame ensues, in which case, from there, you could have, like, a grand old close call escape and shit, and really put some dynamite edge on the Batman and Robin arc, you know, hauling the kid's ass out of there, Scooby running ahead and shit, and all of a sudden a big explosion in the side of the cliff goes off, the bridge falls over. Come on now.
Well, it's also get the doctor to talk about his flight suit that he keeps at the rubber factory?
Yeah, not his sight flute. He has a major dyslexic issue, so if you happen to watch this beforehand, you'll notice that he says a lot of things in a dyslexic fashion, and a lot of it sounds hilarious, and a lot of it just kind of sounds forced to the character, but I get it, you need to kind of put this on there that, even the smartest people have their flaws and whatnot, just going with the usual stoner flow and all that shit. So they want him to solve it or some shit.
The first time the doctor flipped his words around, I thought it was a me problem.
See, that's what I mean there, because, if you're dyslexic too, sometimes you'll still hear it the same way. Like, you'll still hear it as flight suit as opposed to side flute. Bound to happen at the very least.
But yeah, he keeps this state-of-the-art, technologically advanced suit at a rubber factory, apparently.
Yes, but he wasn't going to sell it, and Joker decided enough with finesse. So the only other option was to shake this man rather inconveniently. Like, all Joker did was just hubba doo hubba boo, and he's like, all right, I'll talk. Damn it, you're good at this. Like, it was just the goofiest thing ever. Like, you don't expect that. You expect Joker just, like, cuff him upside the head and out of the chair or some shit like that to spook him. No, he just shook him inconveniently. That's all it takes to get information in Hanna-Barbera, is to shake them inconveniently.
And of course, during all of this, the Mystery Inc. is still searching the cave. They come across a boat in the water.
Yeah. It's just random boat sitting there, you know? It's like, hello, I'm David Bowie. Huh?
Boo.
Huh? Kermit, did you hear it? Kermit? I heard it too, Kermit. How about it, David Bowie? Fantastic.
Are they saying boo or booey?
I was saying booey. Get him! So, he lets him know that this suit is at a Hillside Aircraft factory or something like that, or a company. Rather, in which case, spilling the beans, they want to go get that bad boy and find out later on that he's actually like, no, I gave him a false location. It's actually here. And I'm like, oh my God, he got a fucking just like the year 3022 swerved. Shit. So, in which case, he still refuses, you know. They were like actually discussing their plan of stealing it from the guy 2 fucking feet away from them. So of course he's gonna be like, I'm not falling for this shit.
Yeah, and during all this, they realize that the Bat Chopper is approaching. And Penguin also notices that Scooby and Shaggy are wandering the caves.
I'm fairly certain it was the other ones. They decided to go on and travel about.
They're sitting near the entrance.
Yeah, that's right. And the door closes behind them eventually. Because the way Fred, Velma, and Daphne are going, they end up like springing a trap on them. It was like the goofiest shit, but it was another like just a nod to Batman, you know? They wound up... letting loose this mechanical bat on them, and all the while Shaggy and Scooby were being like doped around by this just Joker and a bedsheet. That's all it was. It was literally just Joker and a bedsheet, and they were legit spooked like it was a real ghost.
I called him Ghosthausen because at one point he said that you'll rue the day.
That's fair. I like that. That's just a fucking pleasant fucking reference there. I'm sure you would do the housing quite proud for that. So they're getting spooked by this, and Penguin's like, yo, you think this is good? Watch this shit. And he flicks on a fountain phantom. And then what really bothered me was like, why was the fucking fountain moving forward? Who honestly thought to themselves, like, wait a minute, before we let the water back in, how about a machine that moves a fountain back and forth.
Like it's some Disney sideshow.
Nobody thought to stop this man and fire him like a sane person. They just thought, well, you know what? The water's still not here anyway. Let's fucking do it. Let's rack up the bill for them. And Joker and Penguin were just like, yeah, you know what? Sure. You never know when you're going to need a moving fountain. So they're probably sitting back there while Shaggy and Scooby are freaking out. They're like, hey, Pengy, what? Moving fountain. He's like, you know what? I don't regret this purchase anymore. It was worth the extra $34.
You know what? Seeing as it's Joker and he loves him some amusement park rides, it kind of fits for one of their traps.
It does. I would have expected something a little more like carnival-like, you know, town fair kind of thing, just to kind of match up with the playful clown foolery and shit. But it was still good enough. It did its job, and it spooked them God knows where, and oh my God, they took the boat out. Shaggy somehow broke the oars because he's got a powerful stroke. Come on. Shaggy. God damn it.
Fuck it. You're getting a fountain show, and Shaggy's going to love it so much that he strokes a bit.
He does, but he stroked it too hard, man. He broke his wood.
Ew.
He broke his wood. Like, imagine a fucking glow stick and Shaggy just click. Tell me that didn't get you right in the penis.
Oh, like a hand job.
Oh, man. So while they're being rope-a-doped around, Velma, Daphne, Fred, they're still being chased by this gargantuan mechanical bat, and Batman and Robin luckily show up with, I don't know how to describe this. It's like New York slice-sized fucking batarangs. And they're just like, Robin, quick, throw these 15-pound pieces of metal at them. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem.
And they don't even really make a dent in the flying bat.
And then it lowers to the ground.
Like, this dude's just like, you know what? I flew all the way here. I'm just so jet-lagged. I'm going to drop. And, well, the kids are safe, and that's all that really matters, right? So, the kids are all collaborating with the Cape Crusaders about the villainous high drinks, and they want to, you know, find Shaggy and Scooby again. So, Joker and Penguin, thinking they got the best of the kids who are seemingly, you know, returning back in, they're like, oh, shit, here comes those kids again. Let's fucking get them. They thought that just all 5 of the kids were coming along, but no, that wasn't the case. It's fucking Batman and Robin along with them. And as they come out there, they spot them. They're like, oh, shit, our adversaries. Let's spend time pointing rather slowly instead of pursuing. And the next thing you know, they take an elevator faster than the entire progression of animation in the show is gone.
Where did this elevator come from? That was the same door that they entered from.
That was the exact same, like, I'm guessing it was like a neighboring wall thing or something like that. Maybe it was just off by millimeters, but even so, like, come on. You think a little more on your feet to where you put your elevators at. You could have gone around the corridor and then remained out of sight and still gone up, and they'd still be confused. But, you know, they escaped, but luckily enough, Robin knows every single control panel ever made in existence, so he clearly knows where the elevator call button on each one is. So that's all granted exciting. Robin, boy wonder, finder of elevator call buttons. Look, Batman, if you look directly above the one that goes down, there's one that goes up. My God, old chum, this is a technological marvel, but no time. We must stop the Clock King. From what? Shopping at Macy's. Outstanding.
Yeah, so they've now completely destroyed what I called the Robat.
Oh, that's clever. I like that. I wish I had thought of that one to use from the beginning. It just has a nice catch to it, the Robat. In which case, that sounds like a cool thing for the fucking comics as well. You know, Alfred, activate the Robat. Oh, my God. Okay. I like it that.
Just a canoe with a couple of battles.
Oh, my God. Somebody just randomly can pick up a pen and paper and be like, okay, everything's got a name and everything like that. The Batplane doesn't even have a name aside from the Batplane. What if we made that the Robat? In which case, if it were to, you know, crash down or anything like that, then you could choose like a suit mode where it hides a little exoskeleton in the belly of its build, in which case it can eject you upward like through the seat and shit, and then when the plane crashes, you can come down in this thrifty suit of armor.
And it has a built-in tackle box for fishing.
Oh my God, right? Like, you never know when you're just going to need like a name brand lure. And just, you know, the back grappling hook wire and everything like that, and just be like, well, I'm going to be sitting here in front of a lake for 6 hours. I may as well make use of my time. And it's not like the suit comes with Bat Solitaire. No, he needed to save room for each year's update of the Bat Mix for fight music and shit. So in which case, you know, having that fishing line, having that extra lure in a random utility pocket, that would be nice. I would like that. Sounds like it would be pretty intense.
Well, this is when we learned that the Doctor did give Joker and Penguin the wrong information the entire time, and Batman just kind of like, yay, that's a good plan.
I gotta tell you, man, that is the best detective work I've seen throughout this entire movie. Because, let's think about it, if you want to put a comparison to intelligence to this to any other smart part, my guess is the smartest thing you could compare it to at this point, the smartest thing would probably be Daphne saying, let's just drive off after him. Absolutely out fucking standing, Cape Crusaders. This dyslexic scientist figured something out that outmaneuvers the bad guys more than you did the entirety of this time, pardon me.
Yeah, and this is when the mystery gang's like, hey, we're going to join in, Batman. We're going to help you out. We know that you've got the Batcopter here, so let us drive. Tell us where the Batcave is, and we'll drive you there.
Now, this is where the space bar, the pause button, whatever you use, gets the entirety of the wrath of my fucking fist. Because way back when, they kept the Batcave from the people they are, you know, so closely related with. But yeah, it's just a group of teenagers. Let's show them where the Batcave is. All right, kids, you can wait outside the Batcave while we go in and get the Batmobile. In which case, the Joker and Penguin could just be strolling along and be like, hey, aren't those the fucking campers from earlier? Yeah, weren't they seen with Batman? Oh my God. I'm calling Harvey right now. And that's just it for the Cape Crusaders. No idea how fucking badly he could have fucked up there. Just absolute madness.
Yeah, instead of finding a phone and calling Alfred to deliver the Batmobile, they just, you know, drop us off, pick us up, okay, we're good. But we cut to, we then go to lab, and we see the suit with what looks like there's 6 holes in it. 1 for the head, 2 for the arms, 2 for the legs, and 1 between the leg holes.
It's Scooby's tail.
Scooby puts it on, and his tail does not come out of the suit.
No, it does not. So in which case they planned on making the initial ejection of it, like right out the bottom there. So wouldn't like the system that pushes them up, wouldn't that gather like such extreme heat?
Yes, it would.
So in which case, what's the fuel for this?
They do not describe a fuel source. However, it comes out between your crotch and your anus, and it's a blasting, push.
It's a big old fart.
It's a fart can.
Well, that just sounds absolutely horrifying, because a suit that hasn't been tested yet, what if that shit hadn't been taken into account and the suit blows up? Somebody's rectum will be splattered all over the fucking pavement. Either that, or it's run by electricity, in which case one surge or one proper ding to it can send an electric shock of God knows how many thousands of volts up somebody's asshole, in which case their rectum is going to be doing fucking black swan dancing all the time.
Forget either one of those, sir. If that thing overheats in the wrong spot, it's melting off your genitalia. And you're alive after.
It's amazing, right? You'll be able to look down and be like, holy shit. So this is like a POV of a Ken doll every morning, just looking down at shame and neglect. Oh, just outstanding. No junk for the trunk. That's sad. So Batman and Robin, they're off to the air side, they're off to the place that isn't the balloon factory. The Scooby Gang's the one that hangs around the balloon factory, yeah.
So, yeah, from the gang go to the rubber factory.
In which case, Shaggy has another amazing little quip between he and Scooby, but he's a little on edge as to what he wants to do, and it's just throwing Fred for a loop. He's like, come on, we got to do it before they get here. And Shaggy's like, just a few more minutes. I don't know what I want yet.
Two options sound like you can either go inside and sit there all paranoid, or you can stay outside and burn one.
And Shaggy's like, you know what? I'd rather be stoned and paranoid than sober and paranoid. So Fred, Velma, Daphne decide to head in with the professor. I'm fairly certain they'll go in there. I can't remember what direction the three went. But Shaggy and Scooby had just the most pleasant time there, just kicking it outside. You know, they got to sit around this big pile of rubber tires and they tried eating them like they were donuts. Like, just imagine people who look at tires thinking they're donuts, and they're still not as stupid as Daphne.
Well, if you think about it from today's point of view, sir, everything is cake.
Everything is cake. But apparently, rubber just deflects cake. Wow, cake.
Yes, they got tricked by not cake tires.
Not cape tires. Otherwise, it would be super tires. They could see them as super donuts, in which case they would have tried swallowing them whole. And by Hanna-Barbera standards, they would have stood for it. They would have been like, you know what? Do it. Let's do it.
But, you know, over in the next note I have here is about the confrontation in the rubber factory.
Stupendous.
Where, you know, they decide, okay, Fred, Joker and Penguin are right there. Sit in this tire with this broom and we're going to roll you at them. And they're there's a tire coming at us. You step to the left, I step to the right. But what they do not notice for some reason is Fred's holding a broom out of both sides.
So the 4-centimeter step they need to move out of the way is not going to be enough. Fred is coming at them fast, and he nails the fuck out of them. Like, they go for quite the tumble for Fred running into them. I thought it would just be like a hard trip and they bang their head real hard off the pavement. But no, Fred goes along. He's in for the long run. His ride does end in a large vat of sticky goop.
You need sticky goop?
I have sticky goop. I make sticky goop. Sticky goo.
This perfect ramp right up to this container.
Yeah. It is stuck there. And Joker and Penguin are like, holy shit. That was a shock, but what a fucking loser. Christ. All right, he's good. Let's deal with the other ones. And they're receiving a fucking ball bombardment. Velma and the pillar behind Daphne put their heads together, and they decided to use, I guess, the rubber tubings as well as the beach balls to fling projectiles at the Joker and Penguin, really throwing them off their game, taking the eyes off Fred so you know he can do his best to get out of there safely.
No, was it beach balls or volleyballs? Because beach balls, you would not get any kind of momentum out of.
Well, Hanna-Barbera. They got the way to go on them, and they just started flinging them at him. And I thought it was just going to be, you know, like Jay had mentioned, they're just fucking beach balls. What are they going to do? And Joker and Penguin are going to be like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Let's just go kick their ass. I mean, out of the two, I'm betting it would have been Daphne who said, just pass me beach balls. And Velma's like, I can just use these torn pieces of wood to give you to fling at them. That way I may be able to actually peg them in the leg or something like that, or do something to really enrage them and throw them off your game. But
I said beach balls.
Velma, we are in a listen to the beautiful one democracy. And people like my butt. Pass me a beach ball, Velma. And it was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, their efforts were for naught, though, because Joker and Penguin are just like, fuck this, and go after them.
Yeah. So, they managed to finish up with them. They got to head over to the rubber factory at that point, in which case the professor seems to be the only one in the fucking building at the time with this suit here. But he happens to notice like just two figures going above there. Doesn't know they're Batman and Robin at first. Then
It turns off the lights thinking that'll help him.
Yeah, they already saw me. Better turn off. He did it like a fucking Family Guy gag. Like, they would introduce, like, a monster under the bed, and then a kid hides under the blanket. He's like, well, what the fuck? Where did you go? And it works. Like, 70s cartoons are just something else. But, you know, it's like, super advanced shit for them. And I couldn't have been happier with what they gave me. I was fairly impressed by it when I was a kid, and then I look over it again when I'm an adult, when I ask these weird questions, and I'm like, well, that's just absolutely fucking stupid. But I still love it anyway.
Yeah, you know, we got Fred stuck in the sticky goop. One moment of that I wanted to touch on is his shoes are stuck, so it's established his feet can't move. Joker and Penguin throw, I think, the tires back at him at one point, knock him on his ass, and then he stands back up on his feet.
Yeah, they even showed him being stuck in there by, like, the arms and jazz, and he just got up out of nowhere. He's like, you know what, I just don't feel like being tethered down like this.
So I'm like, okay, slip off your shoes and jump out.
You'd think that would have been, like, the first thing there. Like, Fred is a fucking guru of, like, traps and trick scenarios and shit like that. Why wouldn't he have just done that? He'd be like, oh, shit, my shoes are stuck. That was fun. And then he manages to make it off there and just kind of like hand move along the way back to proper footing where he can, you know, run and help the girls or, you know, run away, whatever the case may be. He could still have gotten out more intelligently than they had portrayed it out at the time. But it's goofy cartoon, so you got to do the goofy shit.
Well, speaking of goofy cartoons, during that kerfuffle that Daphne and Velma had with Joker and Penguin, they made sure at one point to show Velma down on all fours, hands and knees, face down, ass up.
Oh, man. Such curiosities to when I became a teenager for that kind of thing. Like, you don't do that with Velma in this day and age. Maddening. But
yeah, especially if it's Linda Cardellini.
Lord. Oh, my Lord. So, in which case, the flying suit ends up getting put into use there when it's dropped out the window. That's, you know, there probably wouldn't be anyone out there who could just be like, oh shit, did you see that? Something fell from the window. Oh, it's the flying suit. He ends up dropping it. Scoob's throwing it on. He's got all that. He's got all that done there.
Lands on him.
Well, that's where he does just land on him. Christ. That was just silly. He starts flying all over the goddamn place. It's Batman and Robin, you know, back in the copter, getting him down and shit. And there was a lot of nice touches with these Hanna-Barbera balloons that stretched along the lot of the rubber factory. You know, a lot of them being part of help from Professor Flakey. And just a great character scene, you know, Fred Flintstone, you know, all those various other, like, characters like Yogi Bear and shit.
Santa Claus was the other one.
Oh, yeah, he's a generic staple among those balloons, you know.
Yeah, only the two, besides Batman and Robin.
Absolutely. So, flying abouts and everything, and they want to get that flight suit, so Penguin tucks up a spear at it a little later on there. He throws his umbrella, like a spear at the flying suit. That is a hell of an arm that Penguin has. I thought that was absolutely hilarious that this entire time, all the stuff that Penguin's had, oh shit, they're getting away. Oh, well, hand me that long stick there and then just javelin toss and KO him from all the way across the bridge. Okay, let's do away with him and keep things simple. But no, we just discover now that the Penguin has a throwing arm of a fucking New York Yankee pitcher.
Instead of shooting something out of the tip of the umbrella.
You'd think that would be just a staple thing, you know? The umbrella acts as a gun most often, I'm fairly certain. Aside from the blade part, like the knife that comes out of it. Either one of those two are just, like, staple options for Penguin umbrellas, and I love all of them. So, oh, my goodness.
He climbs up on top of the Batman balloon.
Yeah, to try and help Scooby, right? He ends up getting stuck up there or some shit.
The balloon becomes untethered and he starts to fly and it gets popped in the melee.
Oh, that's just absolutely fantastic. So Shaggy's all flying about on this balloon and shit. So these kids would normally get caught by the police and they would explain their story as, dude, you wouldn't believe it. We saw some forest spirits. We followed them to this fucking laboratory place where we met this fucking senile old man that's clearly not a scientist. And then all of a sudden, there was this clown and this dude dressed in a suit there. And the clown and the dude dressed in the suit would be like, say, the custodial staff and one of the managers working late or some shit like that. And they're like, we had to stop him and shit. And they're like, so you caused all this mess? Yeah, to stop the crooks. And they're like, oh, you kids are coming with us. And they'd be putting Arkham. And that's case closed on that.
Especially once they say, and the dog talks.
And this whole time, this dog is just fucking, he's just sitting there. He's just, oof. That's it. So,
there is no dog.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, there wasn't even a dog. They're like, what dog? And they're like, oh, there he is. And it's just a fucking plush toy of fucking any given cartoon dog kind of look, I guess.
A droopy dog.
Oh man, I think that would be a good. I think that would be a good selection for it. They mistake that, or it's a Scrappy Doodle.
Huckleberry Hound.
You know what? I'm down on Huckleberry Hound. That'd be a good one. I mean, he's a lot. I like Scooby Dumb, but I like Huckleberry Hound a little more.
Nice, done.
Fantastic. So amongst Scooby-Doo flying around and everything, eventually gets picked up by Batman and Robin. Shaggy gets picked up by Batman and Robin. And as the Joker and Penguin want to make their escape from everybody because they're all joined together, they know where they're at, they just want to dip. The balloon that got popped during the melee is flying about. It's losing steam and it's coming down and all that rubber is still fucking heavy. So it drops down on the Joker and Penguin, halting their maneuvering. They're not able to move anywhere. And, that about wraps up the, attempted theft of a flying suit and shit, which, Jesus Christ, that is the world's silliest flying machine.
Yeah, and after Batman and Robin round up Joker and Penguin, no cops, no Commissioner Gordon, no Chief O'Hara Bagoya, nothing like that. Just Batman and Robin standing there with Joker and Penguin. Daphne's like, hey, good job, Batman. And he's like, well, it wasn't really me. It was the balloon. But the balloon looks like Batman.
See, it's a Batman balloon. And I don't know what to say for Velma's sake. Just the fact that, oh, look, that's clearly a balloon of you. And Batman's like, yeah, Velma, you're sure good at something.
I thought it was Daphne that said that.
I don't care. They're both fucking stupid. So fucking stupid.
Why do you sound like the sushi chef from UHF?
Oh my god. I know exactly who you're talking about. I fucking do sound like that. That's fucking funny. So stupid!
So stupid! I might have to watch that movie before I go to bed now.
Now all I want to see is like a deleted clip of just a Batman and Robin flying the Batcopter, and then they're talking and they're like, wait, we're not even flying the copter. Who's flying the copter? Oh no, who's flying? Oh no, Bear's flying. How can that be? Copter full of Robin.
You know, I've always thought they should try a UHF sequel where the television station is dying and they're trying to move into like streaming online.
Would you still want to include Michael Richards in it?
Oh, that's controversial.
Yeah, but it's old as fuck. You know, the dude probably just fucking slipped up and shit, so.
I'd give him at least a cameo.
Fantastic.
That'd be it. That, the first episode of Batman Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. This is
so what I'm thinking, let's drop this episode as usual and we'll put out a bonus Tuesday for episode two.
I think that would be a good idea. You know, we can primarily tackle a lot of the news that we'd normally get in the next coming days, so we can always keep people on the update and we can finish up the story from there. It'll be just a nice thing for the fans to get on, you know. They got a good podcast episode sandwich to go on there. They get this episode dropping, they get that episode dropping, then following up we do the next episode dropping, and they got good listens throughout the week, you know.
Perfect. We'll also do TV talk then as well. We'll talk everything Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, a little Batwoman perhaps, and more. Get everyone's thoughts on the show Jupiter's Legacy, and we will discuss all that and more this Tuesday on the same pod time.
Same pod channel.